This is Frank Bell again on setting up a WordPress blog. The first episode was about installing WordPress. The second, about navigating the interface. This one will be about tweaking the appearance. And the fourth one will be about maintenance. I want to emphasize at the outset that I am by no means a web design guru. I know HTML3 fairly well. I know HTML4 okay from the standpoint of a personal user. I understand CSS, but I'm not expert at creating a CSS style sheet. However, I have become very good at editing them. If you want to learn more about HTML and CSS, the best source is probably W3 Schools. The website is www.w3schools.org. If you want to look up the meaning of a tag or the syntax of a particular expression, that is probably the best place to go. If you do a web search for HTML tutorials, you will find no end of links. A few of them might actually be worth visiting. The most useful tutorial I found was the one at about.com. The URL is webdesign.about.com. Things are clearly explained, and there is available there a step-by-step self-study tutorial delivered by email. If you're just starting out to learn HTML4 and CSS, I would suggest that as one of the best free online sites to look. And believe me, I have looked at a lot of them. The overall appearance of a WordPress blog is managed by the theme. WordPress comes with two default themes, one called the WordPress Default, which has been the default since version 1.5, and a repackaging of the original WordPress default theme, now referred to as WordPress Classic. The theme determines the placement and appearance of the standard features found in a blog. A header, where you commonly find the title, perhaps contact information, a motto, possibly a picture or other image. The columns right below the header. Typically, there is a wide column which contains the content, the scrolling display of posts with the newest appearing at the top, and one or more sidebars, typically much narrower than the main column, commonly 250 pixels wide to 300 pixels wide, which contain links. If the blog has advertisers, that's where the advertisement will appear. There might be RSS feeds from other sites, any number of items to try to provide a little more liveliness to the presentation of the blog. And at the bottom, there is commonly a footer, which often contains little more than a link to the creators of the theme. They may sometimes, however, contain licensing information, contact information, and other such stuff. This is the common design of a personal blog. I'm not going to address corporate websites and corporate styles and themes that might be used by a company, an organization, a club, or an association. The first step to deciding what tweaks you want to make to the appearance of your blog is to decide what you want it to look like. When I started searching out themes, I knew what I wanted my blog to look like because I knew what kind of design I found most comfortable for reading purposes. I wanted the header, of course. I did want a header that was capable of displaying a picture. I wanted the main column on the left and the sidebar to be on the right. I wanted only one sidebar. It's not at all uncommon to see two sidebars, sometimes both of them on the same side, sometimes one on the left and one on the right. Occasionally you will see as many as three sidebars, something which I personally find much too busy and difficult to follow. After deciding the basic sketchy design that you want for a theme, the next best step, in my experience, is to look at the themes that are available. Unless you are a web design guru and choose to write up your own theme, you'll probably find a theme from someone else and adapt it. Also, if you're a web design guru, you probably have no interest in listening to this podcast beyond this point, because there's nothing I can say that you don't already know, in fact, know much more thoroughly than I do. The best site I've found for WordPress themes is the WordPress Extend website. There are approximately 1,500 themes there, and they are searchable. You can search by features and by design. There are also third-party and commercial themes available. Most of those are oriented towards the business market, the small businesses or even large businesses that want to use WordPress to present content to the world. And there are even some which are available at a charge. If using a theme from some other site, well, if using anything you find on the internet, you should be careful, because it can be a wild and woolly place. But in the particular case of WordPress themes, from time to time there are reports of WordPress themes from third-party sites loaded with malware. Generally, this malware has not been destructive. It tends to be more oriented to doing things behind the scene to promote the people who created the malware than it does to doing anything nasty to your site. But you should exercise care and verify that any theme you are using is legit and is not hiding anything from you. In the show notes, I'll include a link to a blog post from Todd Cochran of Geek News Central, where he pointed to a story of one such situation of WordPress themes loaded with malware. Once you decide what theme you want to try, or perhaps as I did the last time I changed the theme of my site, you might want to try several before you settle on the one you plan to use. You download the zip archive, decompress the archive, and then copy the resulting directory and all the files it contains to the subdirectory under your WordPress directory called wp-content/themes. Then, logging in, if you're not already logged in, and navigating to the WordPress administrative interface or dashboard, go to Appearances, and then Themes. If the theme is installed properly,
it should be showing there,
illustrated with a thumbnail. Underneath it, you can click the word Activate, and that makes that selected theme the active theme. Then you can jump to the front page of your WordPress site, as I described in my previous podcast on navigation, and decide what you like about it and what you want to change, or whether you want to try yet another theme. I strongly suggest that if you are doing this for the first time, or if you're planning a major overhaul of your WordPress site, that you do your theme design locally on your home computer. If you have a LAMP server already installed on the computer, some distributions such as Slackware, which is my favorite, install the elements of a LAMP server by default, although they do not set the server to start by default. If you're using a distribution such as Ubuntu or Debian or Fedora, you may need to download the LAMP server from the repositories. If you don't want to have a regular LAMP server, or if you're using Windows, I recommend highly for this purpose the XAMPP package, which I mentioned in my first podcast in this series, where you can create a self-contained LAMP server simply by installing the XAMPP package. I'll provide a link to the XAMPP website in the show notes. If you are editing the files locally, you can use any text editor you wish. If your blog exists on a hosting service and you're editing remotely, you can use WordPress's built-in theme editor. The alternative to using the built-in theme editor is to make the edits locally, then FTP the files into place on your hosting service.
Some hosting services allow you to install themes directly from the WordPress Extend website to your blog. I prefer not to do that because I want to make sure I've got them right before I take them public, but that is always an alternative.
You can find the WordPress internal editor by going to the administrative interface, the dashboard, going to Appearance, and then clicking on Editor. In the top right corner of the editing window, there is a theme selection dialog. By default, that points to the active theme. But if you want to edit a different theme, or if you want to see how one of the other themes accomplishes something, you can select another theme in that selection dialog. Occupying the middle of the page in the editing window, by default, is the CSS file, commonly named style.css, for the active theme. You can select other files by selecting them from the file list in a column down the right side of the screen underneath the theme selection dialog. Once the file appears in the big window in the middle, you're ready to edit. I'm not going to go into what edits to make. Instead, I'm going to discuss some of the things I've learned about how to edit through my own personal experience. Too often through making mistakes, but mistakes are how we learn, and I'm real good at learning that way. If you intend to make big changes, you should have a local copy of the file you are changing so you can revert back to the original if you manage somehow to break the file. If you don't have a local copy, you can position the mouse inside the editing window, hit Ctrl-A for select all, and then Ctrl-C, or right-click and select copy. Copy the contents of the editing window and paste that copy into any local text editor and save a local copy of that file so you're protected in case you make a big mistake. I also suggest that you don't delete text. Even if you have a backup copy, if you're making little changes, I find it very helpful to copy the snippet of text that I'm planning to change, paste that somewhere else in a text editor window, make my little change, and then test it out. The reason for this is that way I know exactly what I want to put back at that location in the window. I don't have to go hunting through some big, huge file to find what it used to look like in order to restore the original text. This leads me to the other point. I found it best in doing this sort of thing to make one change and test it. But generally, I'll make one change and test that change. That has two advantages. One is it gives me a chance to see exactly what the effect of that individual change was. And the second one is, if I don't like the result of that change, it's much easier to undo. If I make several changes and then test what it looks like and decide I don't like it, I may have to do some digging to find out which one of my several changes is the culprit. And doing troubleshooting, I found generally that 98% of the effort is finding the trouble. Shooting it is the easy part. So anything I can do to make finding the trouble easier is something I will happily do, even though it may seem slow and tedious. The benefits of not having to go on a long safari to find the source of the trouble outweigh the disadvantages of taking some extra time at the front end. Common PHP files found for a theme include header, index, page, sidebar, single, theme functions, and archives. Those are all PHP files. When you go to a blog the first time and you see the header, the footer, the scrolling list of posts, and the sidebar, that's controlled by the index PHP, which calls the header PHP, the footer, the sidebar, and the post. If someone clicks on a single post to view it all by its lonesome, that will be controlled by the single post PHP file, and so on and so forth. Some themes have more PHP files than others, depending on the capabilities of that theme. So don't be surprised if you see them having different numbers of files in the theme directory. Most of the editing I've done for my appearance, I've done in the CSS. When I get towards the end, I'll talk about some edits I have made in headers and sidebar files of various themes I've used. WordPress CSS files tend to be pretty big. The one for the theme I'm currently using, which is called GG Simple White, I'll have a link to that theme in the show notes, is 500 lines long. The CSS files tend to be divided by CSS comments into sections. There'll be a global section, and there'll be a section for the overall wrapper, a section for posts, a section for the headers, a section for comments, and so on. The nomenclature for these sections may be different from one theme file to another. They will correspond to the divs or divisions that are established in the various PHP files. Consequently, if you want to edit the font size for a URL or the color that a URL appears in, you may have to hunt. They may not necessarily be in the same place or have the same title from one theme file to another. Things that you can edit in the CSS include items such as the width of columns, the weight and style of fonts, and font size, whether, for example, the size of a post is going to be in 14 or 16 points, whether or not the title is going to be in red, blue, or green, or black, what the margins and padding surrounding an image, if you embed an image in a post, and I mentioned earlier what color links are, the size of headers is your H2 for header 2, going to be 16 points or 18 points. And those were commonly the sorts of things that I've edited most frequently in my CSS file to get what I consider an attractive balance of appearance. One thing to keep in mind as you make these changes is that different browsers on different systems may render the pages differently. I commonly use the Opera browser, and my go-to computer is a laptop running Slackware Current. My web page will have slight differences on that computer from my Debian computer. It may look different between Firefox and Opera. I also happen to have a Windows computer, and it may look different in Internet Explorer. I would suggest strongly that if you're making changes to your appearance, you test them in Firefox, Internet Explorer, because the great majority of your visitors are likely to arrive using Windows. They may or may not be regular Windows users, but someone who is a Linux user at home may have to be a Windows user at work and may be using IE. This also has the benefit of letting you know if a particular issue that you're having may be browser-related. I like to use Opera as my primary browser because Opera tends to be a little stricter in its own compliance to standards than most of the other browsers. So if I've got a standards-related problem, I'm more likely to see it first in Opera. The other thing I want to be sure to mention is that if editing CSS, it's a good idea not just to change something. Rather, say for example, you want to change the color of a link from blue to green. Rather than just changing the color from blue to green in the CSS, remark out the line that establishes blue as the color. The way you remark out a line in CSS is to put a slash asterisk at the beginning of the line or section, and then follow that by an asterisk slash at the end of the line or the section that you want to render invisible. You want to be certain to have not just the slash and the asterisk at the beginning, but to have the asterisk and the slash at the end. Otherwise, you basically remark out the remainder of the file. If I'm making a change of that nature, I'll remark out the line I want to change, and I'll type the new line underneath it. This makes it very easy to undo any damage I have done. If I've changed, for example, the wrong entry, or I find I don't like the way it looks after I make the change. I thought it would look good, but in actuality, it doesn't. This makes undoing the change very easy. With contemporary WordPress releases, you'll probably find very little reason ever to edit your sidebar directly. Prior to version 2, sidebar edits were common. If you wanted to implement a plugin in the sidebar, or you wanted to place your links in the sidebar, or call RSS feeds in the sidebar, you had to enter the appropriate PHP in the place that you wanted it on the sidebar. Then save the sidebar file, test it out, and see if it was where you wanted it and whether it did what you wanted to. With the introduction of widgets, you can manipulate the contents of the sidebar by creating a widget, whether it includes links and RSS feeds or anything of that nature, and publishing the widget on the sidebar. The one thing I found that does not seem to work inside a widget is PHP. If you need to put PHP on the sidebar, say you want to use a plugin that's not available in a widget, you need to edit that manually into the sidebar and you need to make sure it's outside of the widget area. When you look at the sidebar.php file, it very clearly states where the widget area begins and where it ends. The possibility that these days you'd be editing the sidebar are very small, but it might be necessary. And if it is, the thing to remember is any edits you make should be outside of the widget area. If they're inside the widget area, they're not going to work properly and they could very easily break your widgets. I've also from time to time edited header.php files. To give you an example, the first theme I used was one called Connections. It is no longer supported, but in the show notes, I will point to a newer spin on it called Connections Reloaded so you can get a sense of what it looked like. I wanted to have links to the other parts of my website, links to the Mail-To form that I was using at the time, and links to an About the Webmaster page that I had at the time in the header above the picture. And I wanted to change the picture. And I did that by going into the actual PHP, finding out where to place the edits I wanted to make, and saving the edits. So in this particular theme, back in the WordPress 1.5 days, the picture that appeared at the top of the blog was actually hard-linked in their header.php file. In the theme I'm using now, GG Simple White, you have the ability to upload a picture and select it from the upload list, and the theme will place the picture in the banner for the website. I do, however, want to change that picture. I haven't gotten a good picture to put in there now, but I don't particularly like the one I have. And I want to change the picture, not just to be a different picture, but to be a narrower picture. Right now, it's I think 620 pixels by 288 pixels, and I'd like to change it to be something like 620 by, say, 125, or no more than 150. So I was looking around to find out where I would make that change. Looking in the header PHP, I found two functions. One said get image width, and the other one said get image height. Where, I says to myself, where did they hide the image width and the image height? And I found that in the theme functions PHP, where it sets the image width and the image height. So when I get around to trying out a new picture, the first thing I'm going to do is go into theme functions PHP, change the height, and see whether it affects the live display on the front page of the website, and then proceed from there. But that also illustrates how these files interplay with each other. The settings in the theme function PHP affects the behavior of the header PHP file, which in turn control the behavior of the website to the visitor. So that's a short primer on how to tweak the appearance. To sum it up, I would say find the theme you want, put it in place, and then dig into it. Make all the changes you want. Just make sure you keep the undo information, because if you break something, you can always revert back to the previous version and start over. So have fun. The next and last of this series will be an episode on basic maintenance to keep your blog happy and healthy, and keep your SQL database well-groomed. Thank you very much. If you want to email me, you can email me at frank@pineviewfarm.net. Pineview Farm is all one word, no spaces, no punctuation. And my website is www.pineviewfarm.net. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.